Hey, welcome back to the last part, last installment of Good Grief. We decided to do this in three different parts because dealing with grief and dealing with loss, it's a really big idea. And so just a quick reminder, quick recap. And the first part, we talked about how important it is when we face a loss to grieve it. And here's why. Every loss is really a death, and every death gets buried. And if you grieve a loss well, you can bury it dead and it'll rest in peace. It won't follow you. But if you don't grieve it, an ungrieved loss still gets buried because a loss is a death. But that ungrieved loss, it gets buried alive. And anything gets buried alive always comes back. And when it comes back into our lives, man, it is so much more difficult to deal with. It follows us. It haunts us, not just for weeks. It haunts us for years or even decades. And it's so much harder to deal with later because it's so much more difficult to pinpoint where it came from. I mean, that's part of my story. It's a huge part of my story. It's probably a part of all of our stories. So that's what we talked about in part one, the importance of grieving loss. And then in part two, we talked about how easy it is to just minimize those losses. It really doesn't matter. It's just 1 year of summer camp. It's just one dance recital. It's just a 401k. It'll come back. It's not a big deal, but every loss matters, and every loss matters to you. So we shouldn't minimize those losses. And what we said in part two is that we shouldn't minimize other people's losses either. Because if it matters to you, it matters. But if it matters to them, it matters too. And guess what? It also matters to God. And if it matters to God, it should matter to us. I guess the good part about all of this is even if you're not a church person, not a Christian, if you're not a Jesus follower, it all still makes sense. It's all still super helpful. But there is one thing that if you're not a Jesus person, I know you can absolutely get behind. This guy, John, he was one of the disciples with Jesus, and you may not believe much about what Jesus said, but here's something I know you can believe in. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. I mean, can I get an amen even from you non-church people? I mean, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus promised it because it's true. It's a promise. No matter how hard you try to avoid trouble, no matter how hard you prepare for trouble, no matter how much you try to avoid it, in this broken world, we are going to experience trouble. And the COVID version of it feels a little more like in this season, you will experience loss. It's a guarantee. We've all experienced so many losses during this season. You've probably racked up more losses in the last few months than maybe any time in your entire life, maybe your entire life combined. So many things have been taken away from us. So many things have been lost. And like Jesus said, in this world, you're gonna experience some trouble, whether you try to avoid it or not. And you're gonna experience some loss. And those losses are really problematic because the one thing we want the most when we're experiencing trouble is hope. But we so easily lose hope when we experience loss. And we begin to ask some really hard questions, don't we? Like when we experience a loss, we start asking questions like, I hope things will get better. We start saying things like, I hope I feel better. Will I ever feel better? I sure hope I will. That word feel is actually a really important word. Maybe you've thought about this, but hope is a feeling. Hope is a feeling, it's kind of a feeling of an expectation that things are going to get eventually better. But because hope is a feeling, it means that we can kind of direct it. See, hope is a feeling, and our focus directs all of our feelings. Every one of our feelings can be directed. And since hope is a feeling, it means that hope can also be directed. Think about it for a minute. What is something that's been taken away from you right now? Can you picture something right now? See, when we focus on the thing that's been taken away, we feel hopeless because our focus directs our feelings. And so in the midst of losing, in the midst of all the losses, we end up focusing on those things that have been lost, and it directs our feeling. It's why we feel so hopeless in seasons like this. But if our feelings can be directed, if our focus can direct our feelings, I wonder where we should place our focus? So glad you asked, because the Apostle Paul has some really helpful advice on how to focus to affect our feelings, especially in moments like this. I mean, in moments where we have experienced so many losses, when we lose something, our focus is naturally and so easily on the loss. But if we could focus on something else, even if it feels difficult, if we can focus on something else, maybe we can experience a different kind of feeling. I love the things that Paul says about loss, because Paul experienced a lot of trouble and a lot of loss. I mean, he started out as a Pharisee, and he was so anti-Jesus and anti-Christianity that he was stamping out the first century church. He's murdering Christians, arresting people. I mean, he is to be terrified. And then he met Jesus, and he completely 180'd. He went from being a Christian mercenary to a Christian missionary, the greatest church planter the world has ever known. He travels around the Mediterranean rim in the first century, planting churches all over the place. And then he writes letters supporting these brand new Christians, these brand new churches. He wrote two letters that we know about to the church in Corinth. I'm gonna show you something that he wrote in his second letter. It's called 2 Corinthians in our Bible. And it's such a beautifully written, but deeply helpful passage. Look at three verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. Here's what Paul writes. He says, therefore, in light of all the difficulty, in light of all the trouble, and in his case, all this persecution, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. It's another way of saying that we don't have to lose hope. When we talk about our heart, that's really where our emotions live, right? He says, you don't have to lose heart. You don't have to lose the emotion, the feeling of hope. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I mean, think about it like in our current circumstance. Outwardly, we have experienced a lot of loss. We've experienced so much trouble, so much pain, a lot of sadness, a lot of things that we'll never get back. If you're a senior in high school, you're never gonna get graduation back. If you're a fifth grader, you're never gonna get to walk the halls again. If summer camp has been canceled, you're never gonna get to go back and relive 2020 summer camp. Those things are gone. All of those losses are gone. They're gone for good. And those are those outward things that feels like it's just wasting away. But Paul says that inwardly, in the midst of all that pain, in the midst of all the sadness, in the midst of even the grief of that, inwardly, in our heart, we are being renewed. And in our heart, that's where hope lives. That's where things like peace lives. Paul has great experience with this. I mean, Paul would say that an outward loss can lead to an inward gain. And what we really want, at least on the surface, is we want outward gains. We want outward success. We don't want to experience the loss. But like Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have trouble. There's really no way to avoid it. And so if we could win anywhere, where should we choose to win? Think if we really pause, we'd say inwardly. Inwardly. And Paul thinks that's possible. In fact, when he starts writing a little more, this next verse, he talks about trouble, and he talks about it in such a callous way, but it's not because he's minimizing the trouble, minimizing your loss. It's because he just sees it from a different perspective. He says, for our light and momentary troubles, which we would not call it that right now. Like, we would not look at this pandemic, shelter-in-place, COVID-19 season and go, oh, this is just light. It's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. We've had so much trouble. We've lost so much. For some of us, life will never be the same. For some of us, we've lost people. It's a big deal. And Paul isn't minimizing it, but he is saying it through a different lens, kind of through a different perspective. He says, for our light and these momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You can think about it like this. It's almost maybe like a scale. And on one side, you have the trouble, the loss, and it feels really heavy. Of course, on the other side, though, we have eternal life, eternal gain. And when you put those two things on the scale, Paul says there's no comparison. There's no comparison. The weight of eternity, the weight of faith, the weight of what can happen in our heart so far outweighs the trouble that we're experiencing. Or maybe we could illustrate it this way. It's almost like if our life, it's like our life was a rope. And if we think about a rope, if we think about our life as a rope, it's almost like our life is this part right here, this kind of red part right here. And the life that we're living right now in this broken world, it's full of trouble, it's full of pain, it's full of loss. It's easy when we're sitting in the middle of the red part of our life to focus on that and to see it. It's so present. I mean, this is the pain. This is the loss. This is the trouble. But what Paul is suggesting, and I think he's right, is that while this is a big deal, when you really see how long your life is, when you see how long eternity is, it doesn't mean that this isn't important, and it doesn't mean that this shouldn't be painful. But when you begin to think about the rest of the perspective, and when you begin to think about the rest of eternity, you begin to think about this part a little differently. You begin to see this part a little differently. You actually begin to focus your eyes a little differently. It's actually the solution to peace and the solution to hope that Paul gives his readers. He says, in light of all of that, so we fix our eyes. We fix our eyes. It's another way of saying we focus. We fix our eyes, not on what is seen, not on this part right here, but instead we fix our eyes on what is unseen, the rest of eternity. Because what is seen right here, that's just temporary. But what is unseen, that's eternal. When we fix our eyes on what is seen, this temporary part, this is where we feel hopeless. This is where we feel broken. This is where we don't know where peace comes from. And if our heart stays focused on this, it keeps us focused on the wrong thing. But Paul says, if you're a Jesus follower, as tempting as it is to stay focused on this part, you gotta remember, eternity is so much greater. And it's worth so much more. Not to minimize this part, but to understand that there's a much better thing to put our focus. This idea that Paul gives us, it's so beautiful. It's so helpful. And you know what? It's so hopeful. Do me a favor. Think about one thing that you've lost over the last few months. And it won't be hard. I mean, we've lost so many things. Just pick one of those things. Isn't it true that when you focus on that one thing in this moment, when you focus on that one thing, it just feels so hopeless? But when you begin to shift your focus away from what you've lost to eternity, to faith, to your Heavenly Father who loves you so much and cares for you so much, it begins to shift our focus. It begins to shift our feelings, because our focus always directs our feelings. See, when we experience a loss, we really do have a couple of options. We can focus on the loss, and we can experience all the things that come, all the feelings that come from the focus there. Or we can focus on something that isn't lost. We can focus on eternity. And it lends us a new perspective that allows us not to minimize what's happening right now, but to reframe it and to refocus it in a way that gives us hope, that gives us peace. And when we start focusing on Jesus during these moments, it really has a way of reframing our experience. You see, fixing our eyes focuses our hearts and it directs our feelings. And Paul would say that fixing our eyes on Jesus focuses our hearts on something way bigger than just this pain, just this moment, just this broken world, just just these losses. And that directs our feelings towards things like hope and towards things like peace. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, well, I mean, it's good for the Jesus people, but what about everybody else? Well, I mean, I get that, but I mean, if I could just be super frank with you, I don't know what you focus on outside of Jesus. I don't know where the hope comes from outside of that. Because if this world is all we really have, if this is all we really have, then I don't know where we find hope. I mean, I know Jesus was right that in this world we're gonna have trouble, and you know that. You've had trouble. You've experienced loss, tons of losses right now. But where do we look if this isn't part of the story? See, here's what I believe. But here's what Paul believed. Here's what all the apostles believed. Not because they were told it was true. They believe it because they saw it. They saw a guy who they thought was a really good teacher get arrested and crucified, and he died. And a few days later, in the midst of their loss and in the midst of all their grief, he came back to life. He resurrected. And they didn't write about it because they wanted to create a good story. Here's the thing you got to wrestle to the ground. They all died because they believed it. Multiple times, people arrested them and said, just stop talking about Jesus and this whole thing can go away. And they every time said, we can't stop talking about what we have seen and what we have heard. Not what we've been told, but what we saw, what we've experienced. A resurrected Savior. And if somebody really did come back to life, it means this part of our life really does exist and it really matters. So when Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, he was right. He was talking about this part right here, this broken part that we're living in. But like Paul, Jesus also knew that this life wasn't all that there is to life. He knew this was just a part of life, which is why he made a second promise. That's for people who decide to put their faith in him. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. That's for everybody. But for Jesus followers, for believers, he says, but take heart. Don't lose hope. Just like Paul said, I have overcome the world. And that's exactly what he did. If you can overcome death, you've overcome the world. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why taking heart in Jesus keeps us from losing heart in our loss. Through our faith in Jesus, a resurrected Savior, through putting our faith in that and putting our focus on that, when we put our heart in that direction, it keeps us from losing heart in the midst of all of the losses. And unfortunately, the losses that we've experienced in the last few months, that isn't the only losses we're gonna experience. Because in this world, we're gonna have trouble. And in this world, in this part of our life, there's always gonna be trouble. There's always gonna be loss. It's always gonna be problems because the world is broken. But as a follower of Jesus, we don't have to focus just on that. We can focus on what is unseen. Because what is seen, it's just temporary. But what is unseen through faith, that's eternal. I think it's the only place to find hope. It's the only place to find peace. So if you're a Jesus follower, I think Paul's encouragement to you would be to focus on something way bigger than the problem you have right now, the light and momentary trouble. If you're not a Jesus follower, I think Paul would say, why not? Why not? How's it working out for you without Jesus? What's keeping you from considering putting your faith in Jesus? Because if this world is all we have, I guess we eat, drink, be merry, and hope for the best, but how's that hoping going for you? I think we have a better option. And it's in a person, and it's in an event, the resurrection. I think it's probably worth our consideration. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, thanks so much for really this incredible opportunity we have to focus on something so much bigger than this temporary life that we're living here on earth. It's full of brokenness and it's so full of pain. It's full of sickness. It's full of loss. And God, I mean, I guess you could have just wiped all this out. I mean, you could just stop it. You could just fix it. But then tomorrow would happen and more brokenness would happen because this world is just so full of sin. It's just so full of brokenness. So God, instead of just fixing it every single minute of every single day, you decided to fix something way more important. You decided to fix our relationship with you. You decided to secure our eternity with you. And when we begin to see that, it shifts our focus and it allows us to see everything in this world through the lens of eternity. That's what Paul did. I think that's what you're asking us to do. So God, not to minimize the trouble we're in, but I pray that maybe through these losses and through these moments, we'll be able to reframe it and see a much bigger perspective. God, I pray you give us the ability to do that. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.